You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my good buddy Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how are you?
Jeff, I'm doing well. Baseball is back. Almost all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, but I'm excited to talk about an actual season.
Yeah, me too. We said yesterday it'll be easier to do a podcast 5 days a week about the Dodgers once the Dodgers are playing games, and this is the first step to that. Obviously, there are still COVID questions remaining about, you know, how much of the season they'll actually get in, but I'm going to stay optimistic that we're going to get the full 60 games in and then a full postseason that ends with the Dodgers hoisting a trophy, mostly because I like to say the word hoist. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that news that baseball's back, and then we're going to talk about one of the specific rules that they're implementing, which is the international tiebreaker of having a runner on second to start extra innings to try to get scoring up in extra innings, get the games over quicker. So we're going to talk about the pros and cons of that versus other approaches. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so like we said yesterday, it seemed like the agreement was close. MLB had given the union a 5 p.m. Eastern deadline for, I don't even know what the days are anymore, Tuesday, to respond and agree to report to spring training on Monday, July 1st, and to agree to the health and safety protocols, et cetera, et cetera. 5 p.m. Eastern came and went without an official word of an agreement, and then we got word that that the players were definitely planning on reporting on Monday to back to spring training, summer training, whatever you want to call it, and that they were still working out one or two details about the health and safety protocols, and by about, I don't know, 7 or 8 Eastern, we finally got word that it was official and everything was agreed on. And for me, that was kind of a sigh of relief. How about you, Vince?
Yeah, definitely a sigh of relief. And, you know, just like I said, barring this was the easy part, and it didn't turn out that way. But, you know, now we move forward and get everyone going and get everyone in the same spot and kind of see if they can hold this together. But yeah, it's exciting. 60 games, you know, we've kind of talked not ideal, but it's enough for me. And especially considering the alternative of being zero, I'll take 60.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been nice to get 120 games in or even 100 games in or 80, but you know, we'll take what we can get. And that's 60, hopefully, right after or around the same time that all of this news was coming down, we also got word that Charlie Blackmon and I think one other member of the Rockies had tested positive sometime in the last week. I get the impression it was a few days ago. You know, maybe Charlie Blackmon tried to use his beard as a mask. Beards are not medical grade masks. Vince, that's probably important for you to know too. Yours isn't as scroungy as looking as his anyway. I don't think you could use yours to cover your mouth even if you wanted to. Obviously, I'm cracking jokes, and hopefully Charlie Blackmon will be just fine and recover from this quickly. But yeah, it does kind of underscore that COVID-19 has not gone away and is not going away anytime soon. And so it's going to be a challenge this year. Chances are every team is going to have guys miss a couple weeks because of COVID, and it's just kind of the nature of the beast, and it sucks, but I don't know. I'm torn sometimes on whether they should even be coming back to play. Ultimately, obviously the players for the most part want to get back and play, partly for their wallets and partly because they love playing. And I do think that most of them are probably pretty low risk to get it. And if they do get it, pretty low risk to have severe complications, but low risk is not no risk. And so it's a tricky situation.
Yeah, it's tricky, but, you know, everything, whether you agree with it or not, everything is kind of opening up, you know, baseball being one of them. You can argue how essential sports are, but, you know, it's essential for those guys who are trying to make a living, some of them. You know, obviously some are more well-off than others. But I think, I don't know, you got to imagine if they handle it right, it should be fine. You know, a lot of people have been alarmed by the number of players and staff members being positive in the last week or so, but you know those guys won't be able to enter into this, you know, enter the facilities. They'll get checked beforehand. I would imagine, you know, that everyone's getting tested in the next week or so before they all report, and then, you know, if they're positive, they have to sit out and join the team whenever, and if they're not, then they go in. And theoretically, that should work out where if nobody positive comes in and they all listen and do what they're supposed to do, it should be relatively fine. But like I said, it is a risk still. And, you know, that's kind of the only reason I'm not all the way 100%, you know, super excited. I'm just like 90% super excited. So, but yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, I think about, it's easy to think of Major League Baseball players as all being rich and famous. And I think about a guy like Matt Beatty, who, you know, a great dude, obviously. He's been on this, was it this podcast or was it our old podcast? He's been on both, right?
Yeah, both.
Yeah. Great guy, but Matt was drafted in the 12th round, so he didn't get a huge signing bonus. He was drafted out of college. He's 27 years old now, was a rookie last year. And so, you know, 27, he's like at his prime right now. And so a guy like him, you never know if you're in his situation, how long you're going to have opportunities to make big league money. And so losing a season at age 27 for a guy like Matt Beatty, who didn't get a big signing bonus, would be a really big deal financially. And so it's easy to think about the Clayton Kershaws and the Manny Machados who have money and are going to be just fine. But a guy like Matt Beatty, you know, when your chosen career is something like the average career lasts 2.5 years, and you know, it's really important for a guy like him to get back on the field and start collecting that paycheck, even if that was the only reason. Obviously, they love playing baseball too, and baseball has always kind of served a purpose in American culture of being important to the morale of the country. And it's probably not the same as it used to be. It's not the national pastime like it used to be, but it's a big deal for a lot of reasons. So I'm excited that it's coming back. All right, we'll be back in a minute to talk about extra inning rules. But first, let's talk about rockauto.com. If you drive a Honda Odyssey, which I used to, and you need a new fuel pump, which sometimes you do, well, to buy the fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey at a big chain store, auto parts store, it's going to cost you $353.99. At rockauto.com, it's $216.79. That is, if I'm doing the math correctly, $137.20 less. I think I did that right. Either way, I know it starts with the word 100. That's two words, but it's a lot less. And so why would you buy your fuel pump assembly for your 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey at a box chain auto parts store when you could go to rockauto.com? And guess what? They don't just have parts for a Honda Odyssey. If you drive something else, a Chevy Suburban like I do now, or a Hyundai Genesis like my other car, or what do you drive, Vince?
A Honda Accord.
Guess what? They have parts for Honda Accords too. You could get your parts at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-run business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. All you got to do, go there. They cut out the middleman so you don't pay the prices that you would pay at the chain stores. You just pay the direct price, basically what the mechanics would pay at the chain stores. So all you got to do, go to rockauto.com, see all the parts that are available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us field so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And now let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is not, they don't have auto parts, but what they have is delicious protein bars. Those words don't usually go together because protein bars taste like crap, but not Built Bar. Built Bar tastes like chocolate, which is the opposite of crap. Like on the color wheel, you got chocolate on one side, you got crap on the other side. Total opposites. Well, Built Bar tastes like chocolate. You know why? Because there's chocolate in them. And yet, they have a lot less sugar, a lot fewer carbs, and a lot more fiber than the garbage protein bars you could buy at the grocery store or at your, you know, GNC. Is GNC still a thing? I don't know. But you don't need to go to GNC to get your Built Bar. You go to BuiltBar.com. And all you got to do, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and they will give you $10 off your first order. That's promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com, and keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Vince, let's talk about our obscure former Dodger. We're about to talk about extra inning rules, including the idea of starting extra innings with a runner on second base to try to increase scoring. And I got to thinking, I wonder which Dodger has scored the most extra inning runs in his career. And so I looked it up. And the answer is Carl Furillo. He's not our obscure former Dodger. He's not quite obscure enough. Carl Furillo was a heck of a ball player. He scored 6 runs in his career in extra innings for the Dodgers. And then there's about 10 guys who each scored 5 runs. And there's some big names, names you might have heard of. Dolph Camilli, I believe you talked about him 2 days ago on our split episode. Maybe you've heard of Jackie Robinson. Jack Roosevelt Robinson scored 5 career extra inning runs. Young man by the name of Andre Ethier, Casey Blake, Gil Hodges, some pretty big names. Darrell Thomas, who was my obscure former Dodger once before, and so I couldn't do him. Andy Pafko, Casey Blake, Wally Moon, all those guys scored 5 career extra inning runs for the Dodgers, and our obscure former Dodger also did it, and his name is Joe Pignatano. Obviously, with a name like Pignatano, he must have been good. He was a catcher. He played 6 years in the big leagues, the first 4 years with the Dodgers, a year in Brooklyn, and then 3 years in L.A. Then he went to the Kansas City A's in 1961, and then he split his final season between the Giants and the Mets in 1962. Which kind of polar opposites. The Mets were an expansion team, and the Giants went to the World Series in 1962. But Joe Pignatano, not much to say about him, really. He was the cousin of Pete Falcone, who the only reason I know who Pete Falcone is because I know he was a left-handed pitcher because he kept showing up when I was doing my research on Gary Templeton's switch-hitting antics from 1979. But Joe Pignatano, Pete Falcone's cousin, played 6 years in the big leagues, 4 with the Dodgers, and scored 5 career extra inning runs for the Dodgers. And he's our obscure former Dodger. You have any really hard-hitting Joe Pignatano facts, Vince?
Unfortunately, I don't have any hard-hitting facts there.
Sad. All right, well, let's move on then. So one of the among the rules that were announced, the Universal DH will be in place for the 2020 season. Not a lot of other things that were surprising, but one that was kind of surprising is that they're going with the international tiebreaker rule, which means starting in the 10th inning, every half inning will start with the last out of the previous inning standing on second base. It's just designed to get run scoring up, and it's pretty effective. I saw that in the minor leagues the last couple of years, they implemented it a few years ago in the minor leagues, and something like 93% of games, extra inning games, and by the in no more than 2 extra innings. So that's good. It gets done pretty quickly. Obviously, there's some consternation here by a lot of people. Some people said they would rather just have games end in a tie. Other people say it's baseball, leave it alone. Let them play 18 innings if they want to play 18 innings. I put out a poll on Twitter, but before we talk about that, Vince, I want to hear your thoughts. How do you feel about this international tiebreaker?
Yeah, I'm completely fine with it in the context of this season. I wouldn't be 100% opposed to it in the context of regular season generally, but I'm definitely have no issue with it right now. I'm 100% against ties. I would, you know, never like to see the game of baseball have ties. But, you know, for this year specifically, this is the, you know, the way to go about it. We saw it in the World Baseball Classic. The world didn't burn down, so, you know, it is able to work. And for this season specifically with, you know, pitchers and not trying to get people too tired, and especially if you have to, you know, fly the next day, whatever it is, where they're going to have to make sure every game is kind of calculated and played when it's supposed to be played. Yeah, I'm 100% on board with this. Although Alex Wood tweeted and reminded us about Justin Turner's home run derby idea, which I do think would have had more entertainment value. But, you know, if this is a way to kind of keep games from going too deep, you know, beyond 12 plus innings, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah. The polls are basically with you. The Twitter poll I put out, we got 634 votes, 67.7%. So just over 2/3 of the votes agreed that they would prefer. And the way I worded it, I said, if you had to choose between games ending in ties or extra innings starting with a runner on second, which would you choose if there were no third option? I do think most of the people who voted probably would prefer some different third option, whether it was just leave it how it is or Justin Turner's home run derby idea. But, you know, when it comes down to just these two, most people prefer the runner on second. And I think I agree. I don't like it. One of the things I really don't like about it, in the World Baseball Classic, I tweeted something snarky about how they ought to just start with bases loaded and one out, because every time you start with the runner on second, the first guy up, sack bunts the guy to third. And then the defensive team intentionally walks two guys to load the bases to set up the force. And especially if it's, you know, if it's the bottom of an inning and it's a tie game, they're always going to intentionally walk the bases loaded to set up the force play at home, blah, 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 blah. And it's just so boring. And so I would like to see, if they're going to do this international tiebreaker, I'd like to see them say, and you're not allowed to sack bunt, and you're not allowed to intentionally walk anybody. Play baseball, dang it. So if they're going to do this, these rules, that's my main issue with it. My other issue with it is that you can have, of course, it's also part of the appeal of it. You can have a pitcher come in and do his job and get a loss. Because if you come in, you know, first guy up, grounds out to second base, moves the runner to third. Okay, second guy up, flies out to center field, sack fly, scores a run. Third guy up, you strike him out. You got, you know, three up, three down, and yet you're the losing pitcher. So I don't like that. But I do like the idea of a guy pitching a 9-inning complete game, perfect game. It's tied at zero. And in the 10th inning, he's still out there. Start with the runner on second. And then that happens. You know, a grounder to move him to second or move him to third. And then a sack fly to win it. And so a guy pitches a perfect game and loses. There's only been one time in history that a guy pitched a true no-hitter and got the loss. I can't remember his name. Ken Johnson? Something Johnson, I think, for the Astros in the 60s. Maybe even for the Colt 45s. Anyway, but obviously nobody's ever pitched a perfect game and lost, because that's impossible. But under these rules, it's not impossible to pitch a perfect game and lose. And so I'm in favor just for the hope of seeing that. But we're not going to see that. And so I would prefer Justin Turner's idea, if for no other reason than that it would be less of a temptation to keep it when we get back to regular baseball, because nobody would think, oh yeah, we should keep this home run derby idea. But I worry that people might want to keep this international tiebreakers rule.
Yeah, I do agree to a certain extent with your first point. And now I remember from the World Baseball Classic how being home team in that situation isn't necessarily an advantage. Because, like you said, if that situation plays out, you bunt one over, you get bases loaded, one out, and then, you know, base hit, whatever the situation, you're basically giving bases loaded, one out, when you had a runner on second, no outs. So then, you know, one base hit, you're up two runs. So then the bottom half, the home team, you know, they're not going to bunt because they're not playing for one run anymore. So they're not going to get the same situation of having bases loaded, one out, or whatever. So I do agree with that there, but, you know, at least for this season, that's just kind of how it is. But yeah, it would be cool if they did say no sack bunts or no intentional walks and maybe try to play it that way. But it's not going to happen. Yeah, in terms of the second part, you know, that's just a hard luck loss. We shouldn't really worry about runs, wins and losses anyways for pitchers. But yeah, that would be pretty cool if the situation you laid out ever happened to go all that, go that way. But obviously, I don't think that's going to happen in a 60-game season. These pitchers might not even ever get past a sixth inning anyways. But yeah, like I said, I'm in for this year. I could be convinced for the future in a certain capacity. But, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I guess we could see a combined perfect game.
Yeah.
I also thought it was funny in that World Baseball Classic, Carlos Correa, did Puerto Rico win in 2017?
No, USA did.
They did?
USA won.
Oh, the USA. That's right. So in like the semifinals, Puerto Rico won an extra inning game, and Carlos Correa got player of the game. And one of the rationales was because he scored the winning run. But the only reason he scored the winning run is because he was standing on second, because in the previous inning, he had grounded into a double play to end the inning. And so he was the third out. And so it's kind of funny that grounding into a double play in a key situation led to him getting player of the game. That's always kind of silly. I don't know. If you had to choose, Vince, like, do you think that they need to do something, whether it's, you know, one of these, the international tiebreaker or letting games end in ties or Justin Turner's homer in Derby? Or do you think they should just let games end the way they end?
For this year?
Yeah.
I'd still be in the boat of letting games end how they end, but I understand why they wouldn't want that to happen, and I'm fine with, you know, the decision they made. But for me, funny because I spoke out against being traditional baseball guy and the DH argument, but traditional baseball guy, you know, play till somebody wins.
Yeah. And yeah, I get it. There's not many games that go that long. I think my ideal for this season would be to do the international tiebreaker with no bunts or intentional walks allowed, and don't start it till the 11th inning instead of the 10th inning. Give them one extra inning to try to end it, you know? And then if they can't get it done, I'd even be okay with not starting it till the 12th inning, you know, just to try to avoid the really long games. But I don't like it starting right off the bat in the 10th inning. So I think my compromise would be 11th inning, and no walks or bunts, no intentional walks or bunts. And go for it like that, I think.
It would have very Game 3 vibes of the 2018 World Series. You know, the situation weren't exactly the same, but pretty much the Red Sox and Dodgers both scored on weird plays and matched each other. And then, obviously, they traded zeros all the way to the 18th. So there's a possibility that that could happen. And, you know, we still get 18-inning game anyways.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The most disappointing thing in my life was it the 15th inning that Muncy almost hit a walk-off homer?
Yeah, one
in that
of
game,
yeah.
Down the right field line. And you've sat in my seats. On a high fly ball to right, you lose sight of the ball. And so I was hugging my kids. I thought that was gone. I thought the game was over. And then suddenly the groan, and it was foul. And then so I was so glad that Muncy got his walk-off homer three innings later, because that was disappointing. I don't know. You have any other thoughts on this extra inning rule stuff?
No. Like I said, I'm on board for this year. And like you said, I hope it doesn't. I hope they don't like it and implement it in the future for regular seasons.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, even in regular seasons, an 18 inning game can really kill your bullpen and risk injury. If you know, the Dodgers had that game a couple years ago against the Giants when Wilmer Font had to pitch like six innings in relief, and you know, that probably messed up Wilmer Font's season and maybe his career, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I do like games to end naturally, but I guess I'm okay with it. So if you're listening, owners, I'm still hashtag Jeff for commissioner. I still think I'd do a better job than Rob Manfred. And I do think my ideas on this front are better than his. So, you know, hit me up. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. You can DM me. Okay. DMs are open. Let's get this going. Hashtag Jeff for commissioner. All right, Vince, I think that'll wrap it up for today, right?
Yep. That'll do it.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. There will probably be more news coming out about the ins and outs. One thing that'll be interesting to watch is that they agreed that originally it was just going to be players who are high risk who could opt out of the season and still get paid. Now that includes any player who is high risk or lives with anyone who's high risk. And one of the risk factors is pregnancy. So theoretically, Mike Trout could opt out of the season and still get paid this year. I assume that's not going to happen. But, you know, you said yesterday, Vince, A.J. Pollock might be the star for the Dodgers. A.J. Pollock might not even play with his premature baby and everything, you know. So it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of days, find out who's opting out, who's not. And as things get prepared for spring training, we will be here to talk about it. So please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there to help other people find us. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625 if you want to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. Have a good one.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye.